You're listening to The Naked Scientists with Ben Valsler and Kat Arney, and this week we're looking into bionic bodies to see how science and technology is helping to help us keep our bodies healthier for longer. And don't forget, you can also listen to us online anywhere in the world and even out of this world in Second Life. So hello to all the Second Life people. Coming up later, we find out how nanobots could be used to deliver drugs around our body. And in Kitchen Science, we reveal just how important calcium and protein are for our bones.
But first, we discover a way to mend a broken heart, possibly, literally, with the use of stem cells. Now, Professor Sian Harding is a Professor of Cardiac Pharmacology at the National Heart and Lung Institute at Imperial College London, and she's here in the studio with me now. Now, Sian's been using stem cells to develop cardiac patches that could hopefully one day be placed onto damaged tissue damaged by a heart attack and basically send in these special cells to repair it. Hello, Sian. Thank you ever so much for joining us.
Hi.
Now, cardiac repair sounds an incredible ideal. That's something that we would obviously want to do. Heart disease is a very common killer. What are the problems at the moment with cardiac repair?
Well, first of all, I should say that there are clinical trials have been going on for some time using stem cells for cardiac repair, and with some success as well. They've been using bone marrow cells and injecting these into people's hearts, and I think probably 400 or 500 people have been treated that way. There's one going on in London now with John Martin. And good things have happened with these, but what appears to be happening is, if anything, a regrowth of blood vessels into the area. But what appears not to be happening is a production of new actual beating muscle, the myocytes, the muscle cells of the heart. So this is one of the problems, and this is what we've been trying to look at in more detail, along with many other people, about what's the best cell to produce a myocyte.
So although these new blood vessels are obviously a good thing, it'll help to keep the heart oxygenated, it'll help to keep the muscle that is there healthy, it obviously won't mean that we can grow back, we can actually regenerate heart tissue.
That's right. The capacity for the heart to regenerate itself, even with these new blood vessels, is really very low, especially as you get to the older ages.
So where do you think is the best source for stem cells? If the bone marrow isn't quite doing what we need to do, isn't doing the full job, what should we be looking at?
Well, the front runners, the ones that are really good at producing contracting myocytes at the moment, are the human embryonic stem cells. And we've used these to produce beating muscle. It's very tough muscle. We've kept it in the laboratory beating for over a year in some cases. You can send it through the post, it'll come out beating at the end. It's very good, tough stuff. I mean, there are problems with this, and some people are worried about the ethical problems. It certainly is a problem about matching it to the immune system of the person. So there are other possibilities. One thing is the induced pluripotent cells. By looking at what makes an embryonic stem cell, people have put those factors into skin cells and produced some cells that are really quite like embryonic stem cells. And then there are adult stem cells that you can harvest from the heart and expand. And all these are like coming up on the outside and could be very good. But at the moment, they're just potential, whereas the embryonic stem cells are the ones that are producing the most healthy and hearty tissue at the moment.
It does seem that this is a field of great expansion, an awful lot of new interesting discoveries at the moment, because there's a story only a couple of weeks ago about how we might be able to induce stem cells to come out of the waste from liposuction, from just human fat.
Oh, yes. And we, among many other ladies, are very happy with this, the idea of this source of repair, certainly. Yes. So there are lots of other stem cell sources. Now, the problem we have is that if you have made a cell into a beating heart cell, it's getting it to the heart. You can't put it down the blood vessels like you could for a bone marrow cell, because now they're too large and they'll just block up the blood vessels. So you have to find another way to do it. And if you inject it into the heart, I think if anybody's ever seen a heart contract, you can see exactly what's going to happen. You put the needle in, you inject it, your substance, your cells, the heart contracts and squeezes it right back at you. So, you know, you lose a lot of your cells that way.
Yes, and I'd imagine that could be quite messy. So you have come up with a slightly more elegant solution of actually using patches.
That's right. So we want to get some kind of a ready-made patch to transfer the cells into place, most likely over the scar that happens when you have the heart attack, the infarct scar. So that's the best place to put it. And really now the interesting part is thinking about what's the best way to get the cells there. There are natural materials that have sort of porous structure that the cells can grow into. They're one good thing. But at Imperial College, we have this fantastic materials department. And so we've been trying to make some polymers that have perhaps some added benefits. For example, one thing we're trying to do is make our polymer match the sort of contractile and elastic properties of the heart so it can stop the scar from ballooning out and expanding. So you can produce some extra benefit while the cells are getting into place and getting ready and growing. You can keep the heart from getting any worse during that time.
And would you also be able to, as well as attaching your stem cells, can you attach all the different factors that you might need to encourage them to really become part of the existing heart tissue and to develop properly?
That's right. And one of the benefits of the polymers, again, or even some hydrogels, is to allow slow release of these kind of factors. For example, factors to encourage blood vessels to grow into the cell patch that you've put on, or factors to protect the cells, because if you put the patch on when the heart attack has just happened, it's a very hostile environment, very inflamed. So you need some kind of inhibitors of that inflammation to protect yourself. So even though they are tough, you need something to protect them.
It's always nice to hear of a scientific endeavour that is so multi-departmental.
And
have the material scientists, and obviously you'll have people working on the medicine side of it. How, once you've made a patch, how is it actually delivered? I assume you don't need to be quite as invasive as you would do if you were fully opening up the heart.
Well, in this case, at the moment, we are looking at opening up the heart, because you need to put it on top of underneath the pericardium that wraps around the heart. There's a lot of robotic technologies being developed at Imperial which have potential for later on. They're putting amazing things in, like valves even, by robotic technologies. So there's the potential there, but at the moment we would need an open heart surgery.
Well, clearly this is relatively early days. Whereabouts are we at the moment? How far do you think it's going to be before we can really start looking at putting these into people and seeing them actually working out in people on the street?
Well, there are parts of this puzzle that have already got into the clinic or have been approved for clinical use. There's a patch of fibroblasts that can be put on the heart that's been approved. There's the human embryonic stem cells have been approved to go into a trial for brain. So that's there. So the polymers that we're using are derivatives of ones that are used in other kind of tissue engineering solutions and have already been put into the body in some form or other. So out there, the parts of the puzzle are just getting into the clinic. It's putting it all together is what we need to do now.
Well, this sounds, incredibly promising. It must be a very exciting field to work in as well.
Oh, extremely exciting. There's a new thing for stem cells to do every week, a new way of getting them, or things that they can make. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you ever so much for joining us. That was Sian Harding from the National Heart and Lung Institute in Imperial College London. She will be with us for the rest of the show. So if you have any questions for her or for us, you can send us an email to chris@thenakedscientists.com.